So Danny and Susan's life of ministry really began where all of our lives of ministry begin, at the start of their claiming faith in Christ. That's when their story really begins in terms of ministry. Danny came to Christ in the late 70s, and Susan in the late 80s. And it was about 10 years after Susan's declaration of her faith in Jesus that she and Danny, they met and married. So in 99, they brought their household together. And then their ministry began to take shape in a different way. Now, it wasn't two single people who had made a decision for Christ. Now, it was now a couple who were learning to live together, to be sanctified through the process of marriage, and who were being grown in their understanding of what God might have for them in their use of gifts and talents, really no different than many of us. And then something changed. And something changed. Around 2010 or so, they began to have this kind of rumbling in their hearts for something different. God was working in them. And they ended up going on a short-term mission trip. You've heard of those, haven't you? And they went on a short-term mission trip, and their eyes were awakened to a need for Chinese people to be introduced to the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so they continued to pray on that and think on that. And they became involved with China outreach missions. And in time, it seemed clear that God was calling them for full-time ministry. And so they were eventually commissioned as full-time ministers of the gospel to go to the university to be ministering to Chinese foreign nationals who were coming into the country to study. And they would be there to offer them the gospel, to create friendships, to have an opportunity to show them the Bible. And they stayed faithfully entwined in that ministry for 14 years. A different time in their lives. So that first part of their life lived as a couple ministering the gospel of Jesus Christ, and then the second portion of their life ministering as full-time missionaries. And now, God has opened the door for them to serve in a different season in their life. And I think it's important that you hear that timeline, because I think often we think of ministry as something that occurs only like ministry is something that occurs when you're working and you can engage in the ministry, you hit the church and you have young children, and we forget that ministry is happening before you're in full-time ministry. It's happening when you're a young couple. It's happening whether you're a full-time missionary or a pastor or a cop or a lawyer or a doctor or a stay-at-home mom. You are ministering. And when the time has come for there to be a transition, you are still ministering the gospel of Jesus Christ. So often in our culture, we get to this point of retirement, and it's kind of a fond farewell of what was. But this morning, as we bring the Fortes up, I would love us to be able to think of this not so much as a looking back over our shoulder at what was, but looking forward. Looking forward to a new season of ministry in their lives. Two people who have given their hearts and minds to Christ Jesus and have decided that now it's time to move to another challenge. Amen? So we're going to talk a little bit about their path, but always with the mindset that retirement just means that the setting has changed. They're going to keep ministering the gospel. So I'd like to invite Danny and Susan Forte to come on up.
Thank you.
Thank you for the chronology, by the way. Really appreciated that. Really, did I do okay?
You did great.
Okay, good. Mm-hmm. That was a little scary there for a while. So let me open in a quick word of prayer. Father God, settle our hearts. May this be a moment of celebration. As we think about where they've been, and we think about where they're going. We pray, Father God, that your name will be praised, that your name will be uplifted. So, Father, we rejoice. And we rejoice in the fact that we have seen this couple commissioned at Grace Church, and we are privileged to be able to see them launched into this new time, this new season of their lives. So we entrust them into your care and keeping, and we praise you. And we say all this in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Amen. So let me start with, what made you decide that the time had come to move to a different season?
When we went to China on a missions trip, I didn't know anything about China. I mean, I liked Chinese food. That was about it. But when we were there, just God did something in our hearts. And they warned us about that. They said, don't quit your jobs when you get back, because that's like sometimes the first response, you know. And we had no intention of doing that, but we knew something was different. And our thoughts really were, you know, I guess I was around 50 at the time, or 55, somewhere around there. And so, you know, when I turned 65, you know, maybe we could do something for the Lord, you know. And we didn't know what. We thought maybe we could make up rooms at the Cove, you know, or something like that. But God has a sense of humor, and what we thought would take 10 years took 10 months. And he convinced us that we should do something now. Or we still had the strength to do it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So there was that process.
Oh yeah,
that kind of led you to that.
It's a process.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, even this morning, the scripture that you gave, it brought me back to when I was a little kid, and I used to walk to school, and I would walk past a synagogue every day, and one of the scriptures it had on that synagogue was, "Don't trust in yourselves. The Lord is our Maker. You know mm-hmm. the." What was it exactly?
Lean not on your own understanding.
Yeah, but the Lord is our Maker. And I was a little kid, and I didn't understand any of that, but I somehow understood that there was a God, and somehow that made life different. And, you know, you just go from one thing to another. God wants to use all of us, you know, and we're all incapable, but that's the joy, that he takes incapable people, fills them with his Spirit, fills them with his ability and wisdom, and then allows us to work for him, along with him. And we just, you know, we don't have to be perfect. We just have to be willing.
Yeah, doesn't that take some of the pressure off?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I always had pressure on me. It kept me humble, though, because I think I had a tendency maybe to become conceited that God was using me or something. So God used lots of things to humble me. But there's always a balance, like when the scripture it says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God at work in you. You know, like there's both, you know, and so God keeps me humble, but doesn't want me not to realize that in him, I'm his child, and I'm his ambassador, and I'm confident in him, even though I'm totally dependent on him.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So he's a good coach. And he knows how to keep you humble.
So you said when you first went talked about this ministry, you know, you had said you don't know anything about China. So what did you bring to the table in terms of this? Why this particular mission?
Well, I think when we went to China, I remember being there with those students there. We were only there for 2 weeks to teach English, so we didn't think we were going to be very impactful, but we were willing to go. And I remember one time just sitting there, and my heart was almost exploding out of my chest with love for these kids. And when we came back from that trip, we just couldn't stop thinking about China mm-hmm. and the Chinese people. And God gave us this love for them that was only could come from him.
Mm-hmm. Is that because it was so passionate? I mean, is that what the...
Yeah, he gave us the passion for the people. Mm-hmm. And I think God does that in each one of us. You
so
know?
He did the calling, mm-hmm. and then it sounds like he did the filling along the way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and sometimes you forget. Sometimes you think, oh, I love the Chinese people. And the Lord always is good with me with that. It's like he'll suddenly remove his grace for a time. And then I don't love the Chinese people. I don't even love my wife. I it's like, I don't love anything. It's like, Lord, you know, and then he'll fill me again and show me it's me, because he doesn't want me to forget that.
Mm-hmm. He wants to keep you grounded in him.
Yes.
So we don't end up straying off.
That's one of the most important things I've learned, is that Jesus is everything, and he is the focus, and he wants us, he created us to be connected to him, and it's our joy to be able to understand that and to live that. You know, you go through all these hard things in your life, and God is using everything because he loves you and wants to bring you closer to himself. And the hard things are there just so that he can get your attention and teach you things. And it's just amazing.
So you had the sense of calling, and then you did some investigating, and then you went on a short-term missions trip. And then from there, you ended up investigating some more. I know you went to another university to see how this ministry operated. And then they commissioned you, I think, in 2010. And then you had the fundraising. You had to do all that. And then you were commissioned here at Grace Church in September of 2011, I think. Mm-hmm. Is that about right? So in there sometime.
Yeah, in
so
2011.
Why be commissioned by the church?
Why were we?
Yeah, why do that? Why partner with the church?
This church has been everything to us. I mean, when I went through the death of my Jenny, you talked about a young person dying and what it does to the parents. I know that. I went through that. And we went through that and 14 years ago. And the pastoral team of this church called me almost every day. We were in California and reached out to me and comforted us and directed us. And then when we went to China, we were part of Scott and Barbara's church group, and they prayed for us intensely and helped take care of my mom, who was here with us while we were gone. When I had my open heart surgery 4 years ago, Pastor Kent and Scott came up to visit me a couple of times in the hospital, and those were the two lowest points in my life, my open heart surgery, losing our child, and the church was there for us. And you know, and I believe that we're not meant to be alone. We're meant to be part of a body. And it's important to recognize that if you think you are something and the body is not recognizing it, it should put a check in your heart.
Hmm. It should just cause you to slow the boat a little bit?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So what are you going to say?
Oh, I was just going to say that Grace Church has been with us since the beginning, and we definitely couldn't have done it without all of you financially, prayerfully, the church corporately, financially supporting us, individuals sitting in here, the seats right now, who support us financially.
It's the largest donation we get every month is from this church. Mm-hmm. And the most people that support us in an area is this area right here, is you guys. That's just, and it's been that way for the last 14 years.
Yeah.
You guys have been faithful to us. We're just so thankful.
Not only financially, but you've been partnering with us for many times.
You know, tell them about those partnerships.
Yeah, I mean, even before we were, we moved to Albany, you hosted a group from Penn State as a trip. They were going to New York City, and they came here, and they spent the weekend here, so you could see what our ministry was going to look like.
Different families took them in.
Yeah, all families sitting out there were hosting those students. And then later on, we had another outreach weekend here in the fall 1 year, and we did pumpkin picking and went on walk across the Hudson and went on the boat on the Hudson. And you hosted those students. And those are the things that they remember. Mm-hmm. So much. They will always remember those times that they spent in your home. And throughout the years, you know, just even coming down to, I was just down to Awana last week, and I bring a group down every year to teach about China and be able to see the kids and see the kids grow through the years. You know, people came up to me, or one of the girls came up last week and said, you know, I've been practicing my chopsticks and stuff, so.
And the English tutors that that you guys raised up from here. And
oh, yeah. We even online during COVID, we started an English program on Zoom. And Bob Van Cleek and Janet Van Cleek and Norma Kratt all participated in that and had weekly Zoom English times with students. But the interesting thing about that, it was only supposed to be about a year program, and they're still friends with those people. And we had one of the couples stay with us last weekend, a couple weekends ago, and they wanted to stop and see Bob and Janet on their way back to New Jersey. So, you know, they remember so much of the things that this church has been involved in, even coming down to the Christmas brunch. I used to bring some of the girls down to the Christmas brunch, and you hosted a couple day activities for us also, where we would come back here and have pizza and play some games, and give a message would be heard.
So it sounds like just a lot of different ways in which the church was intertwined with the on the ground, right there at the point. You're at the point of the spear, but the church is able to intertwine with that ministry. And it sounds as though there was fruit in that. What fruit have you seen in that ministry over the years?
Well, the greatest fruit is just in our own lives, that just realizing that when you try to renew other people, God renews you. But practical numbers, I mean, these are very conservative, because we just, you know, we know that at least 500 people, Chinese, that have never heard the gospel before, heard the gospel over the course of our ministry. We know that at least 50 people gave their hearts to the Lord. We know that at least 40 went through discipleship, where some of them later became leaders in the Chinese church, and are, some of them are ministering in China. So God has even expanded our ministry by some of the people that we've worked with are now ministering to. And then we also, you know, really concentrated on, and this was something that has helped us see what God wants us in the next stage of our life. We worked really closely with volunteers, and many people just nominal Christians, you know, and because they never think of anything of themselves that they could do. And years working with us, they've to a place where we can leave now with the faith and the hope that they're going to continue the ministry.
That's encouraging. It's encouraging stuff.
I just wanted to tell a couple. Danny mentioned some who have become Christians. One of the first guy who became a Christian, Lee Nguyen, was a scholar at RPI. And it was about a year that he came to Bible study and everything.
It was our first Bible study. I planned so much for it, and one person shows up. And I'm all, like, sad. And Sue says to me, well, just think of how much God loves him to have four of us here working with him. It's like, how do you think like that? You know, like. But I was happy that she said that. And he ended up...
He ended up becoming a leader in the Troy Fellowship Program for the students during his years
there.
The Chinese church. But then he moved off to California for a job, and he has been a financial partner for several years now. Yeah. And then there's Sarah. She was from Taiwan, and she was a Christian before she came, but we spent a year discipling her and pouring into her. She went back to Taiwan just recently, well, a couple of years ago, fell in love, married this wonderful Christian man. They have a baby, and they are now ministering on a Chinese campus in mainland China for the Lord. And then there's Fiona, who became a Christian a couple years ago, and now she's at RPI too. She is now on the leadership team of International Crossroads Albany, which is the international student group that we minister with. So she's now become a leader in that group.
What would you count as the thing that maybe the most memorable, not the way to say it, but something that you will remember for the rest of your lives?
Well, when we took a Niagara Falls trip, I witnessed to a young mom, Chinese mom, and that night she said to me, the next day I had a dream and I saw Jesus at the bottom of my bed calling me. It's like, whoa. And she gave her heart to the Lord. And then she said to me, Danny, I remember. I said, what do you remember? She said, when I was a little girl, my grandma was going blind, and she had me copy from this book to make the reading easier for her, very large characters and stuff. She goes, now I know that book was the Bible. Hmm. And that really spoke to my heart, because here I was thinking, I led her to the Lord, you know, another check on my list or whatever, you know. And God just showed me, he said, you're just involved in a process. Hmm. I've been working and calling her since she was a little girl. Hmm. And everybody is, you know, has that responsibility. And when we were just young doing this, we had a lot of people come to the Lord. And I think we needed that. But as the years went by, we just did more witnessing and more planting of seeds. And I don't think I would have been able to handle that in the beginning. But then, you know, God just showed me gradually that every stage is important. And what, no matter what you do, no matter what you, if you know the Lord, you have something to share with others. Because your life is different. And you can share that difference. And you're planting a seed. You don't have to give a theological 10-point explanation. You can just show some love and say, God loves me, so I want to love others. You know, and that will just plant seeds that God will be faithful to have them grow and bloom.
And when I was thinking about memorable things, there's just so much. When I look over the 14 years, there's just all these memories and pictures come up and people, and I can't even count the people, and sometimes I can't remember names anymore, and when they were with us. I should have kept better records. We always said, oh, we got to keep a book with pictures, names, and dates, but we never got to that. But anyway, one of those things about memorable, I was thinking about, we have a lot of memorable times in parking lots, which sounds really interesting, right? So RPI parking lot was really special to us, because sometimes we'd leave Bible study, it'd be, you know, especially in the winter, sometimes walking across that campus and that wind's blowing and you're like freezing and you're like, are we gonna make it to the library? And we, but on the way back out, two times we had special conversations in that parking lot with Shu, and she became a Christian one night in the parking lot at RPI. And then Fiona, she also, this was the last Bible study on RPI campus before the COVID lockdown. And I remember standing out there with our volunteer, Sarah, and she accepted the Lord and prayed that night. And then there was one time we met a new scholar. We had just met him the day before at an event. I think it was apple picking. And we said we were going to church the next day. And he said, I want to go to church with you tomorrow. So we pick him up, what we do, pick him up, bring him to church. And we're sitting in the parking lot out there, and he's asking all these questions. And we asked if he wanted to accept Christ. And he said, yes, right away. And so we had that whole year to spend time with him and disciple him and things. Sometimes we have a year or two to spend with people. Sometimes we have
2 weeks
before they go back. Mm-hmm. So we know that God loves them more than we do, and we trust him to take care of them on the next part of their journey.
So as you look, now that you're looking at the next part of your adventure, what are you looking forward to?
No paperwork.
That is true.
Yeah, good.
Less Zoom meetings.
You don't think you'll make up some just to have? Or?
But I think it's like pretty much what God has called us to do is like just to renew people. And we just have a heart to do that. And we believe it comes through loving people with the love that God has given us. And then just the gifts that God has given us, Sue with hospitality and me with discipleship and teaching.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we hope to be able to help people to recharge and rest and things. And so that's something that we know is very valuable, especially as a missionary or a pastor or just everybody, to be able to have places to just sit and talk to people. Mm-hmm. And we hope that we'll be able to make our new home a place that's that type of place for people. And no matter what our health is, because Danny has a lot of some health problems, he can always talk about Jesus, right?
Yeah, and I can't do a lot of the physical activity. I can't do the camping anymore and stuff. But I can sit down on the couch and talk to people about Jesus, and that is just a joy.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable.
So we're hoping that we can do that and just plug into a good church where we're moving and just serve wherever he has for us to.
And where are you moving?
North Carolina.
North Carolina?
The most western part of North Carolina, kind of surrounded by Tennessee. Small little town called Murphy, North Carolina.
No, why there?
I'm sorry?
Why there?
Why?
Why
are
there?
We moving to Murphy?
Why there?
Mm-hmm.
It was cheap.
We can get, yeah.
It's very close to northern Georgia, where all the tourists go from Atlanta, so it has a lot of things.
Yeah. The climate is a big part of it. It's going to be, it's in the mountains, so it's going to be less hot in the summer and less cold in the winter, though this week they have a real cold thing going on like the rest of the country. But that's really helpful. Well, I think will be helpful for Danny's health, his breathing, because he struggles with his breathing right now. So we just fell in love with it. It looks very much like the Adirondacks, which is our love.
Okay.
We were surprised, and it's reasonably priced, so we can actually afford to.
So you're going to go all the way down there. We'll try not to be bitter.
I know.
We won't send any of those Facebook things that everybody from our Florida sends us.
Yeah, that doesn't go so well. So please don't do that. Mm-hmm. The church has been intertwined with your lives. Grace Church has been intertwined with your lives for quite some time.
Mm-hmm.
And in a, it's such a privilege to have seen you commissioned, to have had you been a part of the church before that commissioning, and then to see you at this juncture. You know, it's something that's really quite rare. We were talking earlier about, we don't often get a chance to see that storyline. We sometimes get to see the commissioning, and we hear about someone's retirement or leaving the ministry. But to be able to see the beginning and the end of that portion of a person's service to Christ is a real gift. It's a real gift. And I'm wondering, and maybe this is presumptuous, so you just poke me in the eye if I got this wrong. But we've been intertwined with your lives. How do we stay in contact? How do we continue to pray for you and minister to you as you take this next step? Because it just seems kind of funny to see it off, to see the boat, and we all wave and go, off they go, and to not have to see that disappear.
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't think it's ever going to disappear, because you're our friends, you're our family. Every time I come back here, I'm always like, oh, we're home, you know. So you are our home, and you know, so many of you we've known for years, and we will continue to follow each other's lives, and maybe we'll visit. We've got to come back. We have grandkids in the area, and my mom
good,
and stuff,
good.
So
we'll
we're not like
we
leaving forever. But it's a process. We've sort of been knowing probably about a year ago. We started to really get serious about this next step, and you know, we've been trying to finish well for this year. You know, we had to let our organization know. We've been working with our group in Albany to try to transition things off to people, try to lift people up to take over things. I have responsibilities of our organization of overseeing some other missionaries in other areas. So I'm doing transitioning of the new directors to the campus workers in the next couple of months. And, you know, we still care for my mom. That's a big part of our life, too. And, you know, just the process of moving, of decluttering and downsizing. We have a lot to do before we can even get to there, but
sure.
It's been a while that we've been praying about this and planning for it and getting ready for this next step.
Well, I think our desire, I know, you know, in terms of the elder board, certainly our desire is to see you run through the tape and to continue to be, try to be of service to you as you make the transition. So know that we'll be praying for, I think the church family will be praying for you through all those, the moves and the like. I'm not so sure I'm going to pray about your move.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, I'll pray about the other things. But it's hard to say, you know, mm-hmm. Oh, welcome to North Carolina. Uh-huh. But, you know, we'll do our best. You know, as I was thinking about your ministry, this passage from 2 Timothy came to mind, and it will be familiar to most. If I'm already being poured out like a drink offering, and the time has come for my departure, I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, I have kept the faith. I can't think of two people who this most applies to. You have fought the good fight. You have finished this portion of your race. And you have certainly kept the faith. And we have been blessed because of it. And many others have been blessed because of it. So our prayer is, my prayer will be that you'll continue to fix your eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of your faith.
Amen.
For the joy set before him, endure the cross, scorn the shame, sat down at the right hand of God the Father. And I believe that as you keep your eyes fixed on him, I believe that you're going to continue to see fruit in your ministry as a couple. I believe you're going to bless the church that you're a part of in North Carolina. I believe that others are going to continue to see in you Christ Jesus, and I believe that they are going to come to know Jesus because of your faithfulness. And I think the best is yet to come. That's what I think. So let me end us there, and I'll offer a word of prayer, shall I? Father God, it is good to be with faithful servants. And I'm so thankful for Dan and Susan. I'm thankful for their humility. I'm thankful for their genuineness. Father, I thank you for their lack of pretension. And I just pray that you will continue to oversee them as they make this move. May they go in the peace and the knowledge of Christ. May they be reminded that they are loved, that they are thought of, that they are not forgotten. May they be reminded that there are people here who will continue to follow them and be praying for them into this next portion of their journey. And Father, I pray that we would look to them as an example of a servant's heart, that we would seek to be people who serve you as faithfully as they have. And so we just entrust them to your care and keep it. We thank you for what is to come. We look forward to your name and praise the Lord.
Thank you for loving us so well. We love you.
Friends, if you are able, please stand and join us.